living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been together as priest and people for over 6.5 years now, and you may have noticed that I never, ever, 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 ever preach according to the calendar, the secular calendar. I never preach on Memorial Day. I never preach on the 4th of July. I never preach on, because, two reasons. Number one, because the church calendar is far more ancient than all of those calendar, those holidays. And secondly, because once you begin the tradition of having to preach on all of these civic and Hallmark holidays, you have to preach on all of them. Because people say you left this one out, but you preached on this one. Now that being said, I'm now going to ignore everything I just said and proceed to preach on Father's Day. But I'm going to do it in a religious way. And I'm going to preach about Father's Day through St. Joseph, foster father of our Lord. One of the reasons that you probably haven't heard many sermons about St. Joseph is because for centuries, the church almost deliberately ignored him. She figured that if too much emphasis were placed on St. Joseph at the cradle of Christianity, people might mistakenly associate him as being the physical father of Jesus. Now, we, of course, know that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Another reason that you haven't heard very much about St. Joseph is that we don't know very much about him, which would make this sermon rather short. From the scriptures, we know that Joseph was a descendant of the house of David. But despite this lineage, he lived the modest life of a carpenter, a trade that he passed on to his son. And we may infer that Joseph had died by the time of the crucifixion. Now, just because we don't know very much about St. Joseph doesn't mean that he's unimportant. You know, think of all those men created by God from the beginning of time. Moses, the meekest of men, Solomon, the wisest, Job, the most patient, patriarchs like Jacob, prophets like John the Baptist, apostles like Peter and Paul. God passed over all of these men, and his finger touched Joseph. Of all these men, God the Father chose Joseph to be his own earthly representative to Jesus. And apart from Mary, Jesus lived closer to Joseph than any other saint in heaven. Joseph sat at the same table as Jesus, slept under the same roof as Jesus, worked at the same bench as Jesus. Joseph the carpenter had the King of Kings as his helper. Joseph was the great fatherly man that Jesus called Daddy. And just because we don't know many facts about Joseph doesn't mean that he doesn't have anything to teach us, especially about being a father. Now, first of all, what it strikes me the most about St. Joseph is his silence. The Gospels devote to him a mere 26 verses. They mention his name 14 times. He enters the scene quietly, He hides himself in the glamour of Jesus and Mary, and then he disappears just as quickly. I think that Joseph, in his silence, is a model to fathers and to men who play fatherly roles to children about guarding the tongue. You know, our St. James says that even though the tongue is a small part of the body, used improperly, it can have the effect of a small fire setting a whole forest ablaze. What you say, fathers, to your wife and to your children, and how you say it, is of great consequence, both for them and for the health of your soul. Let me give you one example. Let me give you two examples. In this country, there is bitter racial strife, even now. We know that children are not born with hate in their hearts, but they learn this through the words and actions of others, like fathers, whom they respect. Guard your tongue. Or violence in the home. How you speak and act towards your wife will set the example of how your son treats his wife. The words that we use have lasting consequences. Let us all, like Joseph, guard our tongues. Now, secondly, Scripture shows us the portrait of Saint Joseph as a pious Jew who took his religious responsibilities seriously. Whether it was when, by the message of an angel, he put his fears aside and took Mary as his wife, or the moment that he left Bethlehem, or the hasty flight to Egypt with all of its danger and intrigue, at each and every moment of his life, Joseph was eager that he and his family should do the will of God. Even when the ways of God were incomprehensible or unsettling, Joseph was faithful. Now, this is an example to fathers and all who play a fatherly role. He is an example of faithfulness to God and his church. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. The Christian faith is passed on, but it is not hereditary. It's passed on by example. Faithfulness in thought and word and deed. You know, Joseph sets Jesus the example of an annual pilgrimage all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to the temple. What about us? I mean, what examples are we setting our children when it comes to worship, and by extension to our children's children? Or how about striving to live a life of holiness? Joseph's character is summed up in Scripture with the phrase, "He was a just man." That is, a godly man. And grant that that might be our eulogy as well. And thirdly, even though Mary is more exalted, more sublime, more majestic, more spiritual than any other creature God made. It is Joseph who on several occasions receives visions from the Lord. It is Joseph that has the vision that Mary's son should be named Jesus. It is to Joseph that the vision is given that the Holy Family should flee to Egypt and then after a time return to Israel. Joseph is the man of vision for his family. To the fathers in the room, even though your wife may be more exalted, more sublime, more spiritual than you, it is to you that God will reveal the vision for your family. Now, as a father in God to this parish, I regularly pray to discern God's vision for this family. But fathers, God has given you, or will give you, a vision of what your family should be like. And does your vision for your family go beyond simply being a group of related individuals sleeping under the same roof to a vision that Jesus has for his kingdom? Do you have a vision of your household as an abode of truth and life, of holiness and grace, of justice and love and peace? Joseph is the example of how to be a man of vision to your family. Now, finally, because we believe in the communion of saints, Saint Joseph is not only an example. Joseph is alive. Joseph is in heaven. And Joseph is praying for us all right now. It's always easier to think of Joseph as praying for us than it is to preach about him. So if you are a father, you should be asking St. Joseph's help to be a good father. You do not know how much you will neglect, you will lose if you neglect him. You have no idea what you will gain by seeking his advice and calling on him to help you. Go to Joseph the carpenter, who will teach you how to put the right effort in the right spot and to measure your effort to the need of the task. You know, in an age when Christian fatherhood is either misunderstood, attacked, or denied, confide to Joseph your anxieties and your worries, your distress. He knows from experience what anxiety and distress are. Now, when I think of St. Joseph in heaven, I sort of like to think of my grandfather who used to putter around his shop. Only Joseph doesn't spend his time turning out tables and chairs and assorted curiosities like my grandfather did. Joseph instead hears the prayers of parents whose children have gone astray. He sees someone in the pit of an evil habit, and he hammers together a ladder of prayer to bring them out into the light. He takes marriages that are about to split wide open and with the glue of charity binds them together. And he even makes splints for broken hearts. Fathers and everyone else, in any trouble, go to Saint Joseph. Because as a boy, our Lord went there himself. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed. Affirm our faith in God. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.